Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, verses 16 and 17, and reads as follows. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God in his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, the context of our text for today is a prophecy of comfort given to the Jews prior to their Babylonian captivity, but with reference both to the captivity and to the subsequent deliverance that the Lord would provide for his people, together with a punishment upon the Chaldeans through a future king of Persia named Cyrus. And there are parallels between the Jews' deliverance from Babylon and the far greater deliverance and salvation that the triune God would provide for the Jews and for all mankind through the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose redemptive work is further described in the chapters following our text. Now, it is certainly true that the doctrine of the Trinity is more clearly revealed in the New Testament. But it is also true that it can still be found in certain passages of the Old Testament scriptures. Thus we see in our text for today, taken from the book of Isaiah the prophet, that the one speaking is clearly God, God the Son. He describes himself as being sent by the Lord God, God the Father, together with God the Holy Ghost. The Lord is further identified as the Redeemer, the one who teaches and guides his people. Thus we see in this Old Testament text that all three persons of the Trinity are involved in our salvation. We shall first consider the point that God the Father sent God the Son and God the Holy Ghost for our salvation. Secondly, that the Lord God teaches us and leads us in the way that we should go. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. At the start of our text, the Lord declares, Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. Concerning the prophecies of God that would directly affect the Jews at the time of our text and in the years following, his works and his will were not kept secret, but had been revealed to the people through the prophet Isaiah. And when the people in later years would see the fulfillment of those prophecies, they were to remember how the Lord had told them before and acknowledge the perfect accuracy of his words. Likewise, as applying to us Christians today, the Lord has not kept secret the things necessary for our salvation, but has revealed them to us in the gospel, which he caused to be inspired and recorded by the apostles and prophets on the pages of Holy Scripture. Now, the Jews at the time of our text had provoked God's wrath over and over again, and that is why the Lord was going to give Nebuchadnezzar the victory over Jerusalem and cause the Jewish people to be carried away into Babylon. But for the sake of the Messiah, God was still going to show them mercy and deliver them from that captivity. In like manner, you and I and all mankind have provoked God's wrath by our sins. In our natural condition, we are held captive, slaves of sin. And that miserable slavery of sin would lead us to the final and everlasting punishment of hell. But the Lord God, in his rich grace and mercy, provided us with a means of salvation through the substitutional atonement of the Lord Jesus. The saving grace of God in Christ, the Messiah, was something that was promised and proclaimed to penitent sinners also way back in the Old Testament, really going all the way back to Adam and Eve after their fall into sin. And that message of the gospel is what sustained the saving faith of the Old Testament believers, just as it sustains the faith in Christians today. The gospel message of salvation for sinful man focuses specifically on the work of God the Son, Jesus Christ, who was sent into this world as a true human being to redeem all people from their sins. Thus the Messiah declares in our text, "Now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me." Now our King James translation actually gets the word order a little wrong here. Following the word order in the original Hebrew, God the Son says, "The Lord God hath sent me and His Spirit." So God the Father is described here as sending both God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. The second person of the Trinity and the third person of the Trinity are sent for man's salvation. As was just mentioned, God the Son was sent into the world to redeem fallen mankind as the perfect substitute under the requirements and punishments of God's holy law. God the Holy Ghost is sent to bring sinners to faith in Christ, and thus to put them into possession of God's saving grace through the power of the gospel. In the work of redemption, accomplished by God the Son, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation were purchased and won for the entire mass of sinful mankind. And in the work of sanctification, accomplished by God the Holy Ghost, these blessings of redemption are applied to us by creating, strengthening, and preserving saving faith in our hearts, the faith in Christ that's needed to receive that which the gospel promises. So we should be so very thankful to our triune God for all His grace and mercy in saving us from the everlasting torments of hell that we deserve because of our sins, and for granting us everything that we need to enjoy God's love and kindness both here on earth and forevermore in heaven. In the second verse of our text, the Lord our God identifies Himself as our Redeemer. Now, even though this term is generally applied to God the Son, yet it should not be forgotten that God the Holy Ghost and God the Father were also involved in the redemptive work of Christ. We learn from the Scriptures that God the Father sent His only begotten Son into the world to be our Redeemer. And you'll remember how God the Father answered the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, giving Him the strength needed to carry out His redemptive work. Furthermore, the Bible tells us that it was through the miraculous work of God the Holy Ghost that Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and that Christ, according to His human nature, was anointed with the Holy Ghost without measure for the purpose of carrying out His redemptive work. Accordingly, we see in various passages of Scripture, including our text for today, that God, the Lord, is called our Redeemer, even without specifying particularly the second person of the Trinity. When we Christians of today think about the wonderful work of our Redeemer, we naturally think about what Jesus did to atone for our sins. For the Jews at the time of our text, they were also to think about the promised deliverance from their Babylonian captivity, deliverance from the Chaldeans. But as our text continues, we are given something additional to think about, namely that the Lord God is our teacher who instructs us and leads us in the way that we should go. We read, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God which teacheth thee to profit, and, or rather, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." The instruction that the Lord gives to us is vital, absolutely crucial to our salvation. Without the instruction that the Lord provides us, we would not even know who the true God is. While all people know by nature that there is a God, they do not know who He is apart from the divine revelation of the Lord in the Scriptures, no one would know that God is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three distinct persons and one divine being. Each one of those divine persons in the Trinity is completely God, not just one-third of God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God. Not only is this something that nobody knows by nature, it is also something that no one could figure out, no matter how much research he does, in any source of information other than the Word of God itself. Furthermore, even after being taught from the Bible who the true God is, we Christians still must confess that we cannot fully comprehend the profound mystery of the Trinity. We do, however, still believe it, teach it, and confess it, because this is how the Lord God has accurately described himself for us in the Scriptures. When God says of himself in our text, "I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go," we should not think about him speaking to us in our dreams. We should not think about hearing a voice in our head. Rather, we should recognize how he teaches us, how he leads us through his inspired word, the Bible. Now, the content of the Lord's instruction and guidance can be divided into the two categories of law and gospel. In his holy law, the triune God teaches us that all people, since the fall of Adam, are born into this world totally corrupt and sinful. In that natural condition, we are without true fear, love, and trust in God. We are without righteousness. We're inclined only to evil, spiritually blind, dead, and the enemies of God. Accordingly, we read in the Psalms, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." In his law, the triune God also teaches us that he hates sin and those who engage in sinful activities. We read in Psalm 5, "Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." And according to his perfect justice, everyone who sins even just one time in thought, word, or deed deserves to be thrown into the pit of eternal hellfire. God tells us in the Scriptures, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And again, "The wages of sin is death, eternal death in hell." Such truths are important for us to understand. But they do not provide us with the help that we desperately need. However, the part of God's Word whereby we are actually taught how to profit, as our text puts it, how we are to be truly benefited and saved from our sins, that is found only in the Gospel, that blessed doctrine where we are taught about all that Jesus did to save us from our sins, his work as our substitute under the law of God, his perfect life, his innocent suffering and death on the cross. Through that message of the Gospel, our triune God invites us to receive the blessings of his grace through faith. But even that would do us no good at all if left to ourselves, because by our own reason and strength, none of us can decide to believe the gospel or accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But thankfully, through that very gospel, the Lord works faith in our hearts, whereby we are able to receive the salvation Jesus earned for us. The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Through faith in the gospel's promise of forgiveness for Jesus' sake, we are truly profited. Having been brought to saving faith through the gospel, The believer's heart is filled with a deep love for his Lord and Savior. So then the question comes up, how best to show that love for God? How do we know what God really wants us to do? How are we best to show that we love Him? Jesus declares, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Using His law as a rule for our lives, the Lord shows us how to put our love into practice, how He wants us to act, how He wants us to talk and interact with our neighbor, even how He wants us to think and feel in our hearts. Accordingly, He tells us in our text, "I am the Lord thy God, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." Yes, the law passages of Scripture, which tell us what we are to do, what we're not to do, how we are to be, is God teaching us what His will is for our lives of sanctification. Since we want God to guide our feet, to direct our spiritual steps, we must use His Word, and from that get the instruction, the guidance that our text speaks of. And we should say with King David in Psalm 119, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." As the humble servants of the Lord, we are to follow His instruction and guidance gladly and willingly out of love for the Lord, definitely not attempting to twist His commands or find loopholes in His law that will allow us to follow our own fleshly desires instead. Sadly, because of the wickedness of our flesh, we Christians do not always serve God as we should. For all the times that we attempted to justify sinful behavior, for all the times that we were ruled by our feelings, our fleshly desires, instead of by the law of God, let us humbly repent. Trust in the saving work of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of all our sins, and then henceforth, put away such works of the flesh and strive to do better in conforming our lives to the will of God as He has revealed this to us in Holy Scripture. God says that He will look with favor upon the humble Christian who trembles at His word. So may we never exalt ourselves above His word, but take our reason captive to the obedience of Christ. In response to His rich grace bestowed upon us through Jesus, we should want to show our love and please Him by all that we do and say and think. So then let us willingly, cheerfully follow His perfect guidance and direction, being so thankful for all that our triune God has done to save us from our sins. Rejoice in meditating upon His love for us in the gospel. Remember how through God's grace in Christ Jesus, all our sins are forgiven and we're made heirs of everlasting life in heaven. That should give us all that we need, all the motivation to serve Him in our lives, to do that which is truly pleasing to God for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.